Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-centered style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's
wonderful cafe. Good evening, good evening. Wherever you are in the world, we greet you to the Transformation Cafe. And if you're like calling in live, we just welcome you. And, you know, go ahead and call into the switchboard. We'd love to get you onto the table and have everybody be able to scoot on in and have this wonderful conversation. And if you're checking us on demand afterwards, we thank you for that too. And just go ahead and drop us a line and let us know what you think about the show. We love to hear from you as well as that. So we got some of our regulars here tonight. So, hey, Miss Marvine, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
I'm good. Do you want to tell everybody who you are a little bit, just in case we have any new listeners?
My name is Marvine Lindberg, and I am a consultant both for inspiration and spiritual growth.
Wow. Very nice.
I love working with people, and I'm very pleased to say that I've had really good results with a lot of people over the last number of years, doing wonderful things in their own lives.
There you go. And she does. And I've been one of the fortunate few that has been able to have her in their lives and have everything, you know, shift for the better. So thank you so much, Miss Marvine. And Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie's doing pretty good. This is Mr. Jamie calling from the great Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington. I'm a tattoo artist. I've known Robin since high school. My usual line is I like to help, I help people with their psychic armor.
There you go. And in a beautiful and a wondrous ways. There you go. And Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am doing great. Thank you so much. I always love it. Jamie always says about his psychic armor. I think that's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's very awesome. So tonight I wanted to ask everybody a question and then see where that conversation goes is, what do you consider the most powerful thing in the world? Who wants to jump in on that?
Wow.
I'll go with a UL listing.
A UL listing?
actually, for me, and it's only from experience and observation, that one of the strongest forces there are in the world, if people use it correctly, is love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do the basics are given with children and so on and so forth. But too often, because of our conditioning and programming, we you know what, I think most people have a tendency to love with conditions and they don't really look at what they're seeing. They can look at it from a perspective, but they don't look into it. An example is, a piece of art or a floral arrangement. Somebody gets an arrangement of flowers for, let's use Valentine's Day as an example since it's pretty close.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Let's do that. That sounds like a wonderful idea.
Okay.
Okay.
And somebody sends somebody flowers, and they say, wow, these are really pretty flowers. But if you really, really look at it, and it's really nice that the person who sent it did that, but if you look at it a little bit closer, somebody had to cut the flowers. Somebody put those flowers into a vase with the ribbon and the name tag, and if they liked their job, they would do it with caring, so what the person would feel when they receive the flowers is the caring.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get right down to the flowers, before the person cut the flowers, there was a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed went into the earth.
And a magnificent source that created the flower.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at things and we adjust the dial just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
we can do things that we never thought we could if we get out of the way. Because
mm-hmm.
most of the time we are in our own way. And what love does is it heals. What love is polite. You know, little things. And too often, for example, with Valentine's Day, somebody will give somebody a box of candy or some flowers. But if that isn't carried through for the rest of the year until the next Valentine's Day, then it's left with a big question mark. Not by the
mm-hmm.
person who received the flowers, but the bottom line is it's up to us to live love on a day-to-day basis.
I love that. Live love on a daily basis. That's wonderful.
Well, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's appreciating little things, whether it's a plant or a pet or a piece of art you have in your home or the sofa you're sitting on or the bathroom you have to clean or the car you have to have tuned up or whatever they do with cars, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not a guy. But I think the neat part is if we begin to really care about some of those things, and when you take a look at the car, for example, and again, I had a client in this afternoon. It was so funny because we talked about love and we talked about caring, but I showed her a coffee table. And I said, when I look at this, I don't just see a coffee table because I take a minute and I look at the tree where it started and I look mm-hmm. at the people who cut the wood and the people who designed it and the people who actually put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a look at glass, glass was sand. That's all creation, and we all are connected to a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, the things that are done one way or the other, love at some point was involved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, and what happens, and it doesn't, yeah, there's people that don't necessarily like their jobs. But if they look at the fact that if they don't like their job, they can get training, they can do all. We are creators. We are loving creators. And as creators, we don't destroy, we build. And if we look at something, for example, that we like but it's not serving that purpose anymore, can we use it for something else? Or can it go to some place where somebody else will love it without us being so attached? But the beauty is in the creation, and the creation is at the very beginning. And it's in each one of us, but we get so preoccupied with day-to-day things, conditioning, programming, surface, that we don't stop to take a look at what we're really seeing. And the neat part is if we just take it a step at a time, a day at a time, little acts of kindness, consideration, stopping to really appreciate somebody you work with or somebody that you love, all of a sudden you'll see changes because what you do affects that person. Even if it's a silent blessing of some kind, that not only goes to the person, but it comes back to the person who sends it.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting, it is that simple, but what happens is we get so caught up in the surface things, and part of it has to do with the way we were trained, our belief systems. Touchy subject here. There is a higher power. I call it God. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not talking about religion here. We're connected to that. We're not separate from it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we begin to use those things in creative, loving ways, whether it's digging a ditch, designing a tattoo, creating flowers, opening a door for somebody, little things, even when we stop to appreciate some little gift maybe that somebody gave us, what we're doing is feeling love and sending love. If we use that in the right way, this whole world, one step at a time, can change, and it's already beginning.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree that it's already beginning. We get to see so many different ways that people are handling stuff. I had a business network meeting this morning, and it was so sweet for me because I had three of the men in the group that were just talking about different things that were going on in their life, and they all wept about it. There was such a sweetness about them just, you know, thinking about different situations and allowing themselves to just express in that way. I thought that was just so neat.
Well, to feel, but, you know, again, that's one of those things that a lot of us, you know, we have to put on whatever face we have to put on in any given circumstance. I took off any label indications off of my business cards and everything. I've got degrees. I've got degrees and I've got certifications and I got all this stuff. So what? That doesn't make me a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A good person is someone that you know that you can depend on. And that is kind and respectful and loving.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard part is getting in touch with that and living that on a day-to-day basis because we
mm-hmm.
see so many contradictions. But even some of the contradictions we see are things that have the possibility and the opportunity to make us respect and love more where we are and what we have and who we are. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And I had given that idea to Marlene this morning when I was just, she said, well, what are we going to talk about? And I said, the most powerful energy in the world. And she was all like, wow, I know what that is. And we started talking about it. She's like, nah, no, we're just going to do it on the radio.
Well, originally I told her I'd tell her tonight what I thought it was.
we already knew that it was going to be love, so there you go.
But if you take the word love, it's life omnipresent, victoriously expressed. And what holds us back is our belief systems and our fears. And, you know, it's interesting because I happened to watch Obama's speech tonight. One of the things that he was talking about, which was kind of predicted a while back, was about making sure when kids get out of high school that at least they can get out with technical or mechanical skills in order for them to go ahead and find work, as opposed to so they're encouraging now more focused education. And one of the things that you'll find, I think, that you'll see in differences the basics are absolutely necessary, but if you really have teachers that pay attention to what the kids' interests are as opposed to what they think the kids should be or do, you're going to wind up with a whole group coming out that is more fulfilled and happier in themselves because they're not told what they're supposed to be or do. They're given the basics and then shown the creativity and the tools to how to use the things they're interested in. Go ahead.
I had heard the other day that when, you know, it goes back to the times when there were, you know, the different, gosh, I can't think of the name of what they call that, where they, you know, depending if you were a painter or whatever kind of artistry that you were going to be going into, you basically would start out, you know, having someone as a mentor for you. And they said that what they used to do is the person who was just that much more above the person below them or the person who was starting out would be the one who would be the trainer for that person.
Right.
So they would learn a certain level of the skill or the craft, and then they would teach the person coming in who knew nothing. So there was a constant building of reinforcement with that. So you'd have one person above you and one person below you, and there was always this level of growth and change until you came up to the level of, you know, you were full crafted man, you know, master of the art, whatever you were working on. I thought that was a really, really a neat thing, and how exciting that would be because you're being challenged on lots of levels, but yet you're also sharing what you know.
And that's very true. You know, the other side of that coin, or probably the same side really, is I would like to think that the mentors would look at the way they're treating the students.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and using art as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got so many different types of art, and if you've got someone that is teaching a traditional art to someone who wants to expand it a bit, as opposed to encouraging them to expand on what their own and give them the basic tools and techniques, what you've got is a win-win situation, because you've got one person sharing their gifts and you've got the other person beginning to develop their gifts without fear and guilt.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, Jamie, did you have that when you were learning how to do your tattoo work?
Well, I did apprentice from somebody, but I learned the basics and stuff, and then I got kicked out of the shop.
Because you were so good, or what?
No, I
want to hear about your what.
I think at the time I was probably complaining about something. Who knows? But it doesn't really matter now.
That's true.
Because the guy did fire me and made me go on my own. So kind of.
It was a blessing in disguise.
Get by.
But wasn't it a blessing in disguise, Jamie, because you were able to use what was inside of you to go ahead and go out and create?
Well, I you can look at it that way. It was a little distressing, but I think it's just a natural progression. I mean, to go somewhere else and have somebody else teach me, you know?
Yeah. You know, and while I'm talking to you, Jamie, and this is an aside from, but an interesting part of art and tattoo art, I do have a picture here. I need to figure out how to get it to you on 3D body art.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's interesting is art is in the eyes of whoever the beholder is.
Well,
and
for sure.
Some people would go yuck with tattoos, and yet there's others. My granddaughter wants to have one of the hearts for the pink hearts for breast cancer awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her thing, and she's really into supporting breast cancer awareness. And she's not looking, but I think what's interesting is tattoos are not for me, but if she chooses to do that, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And so we've got another thing, you know, where somebody wants to do something and either a parent or an authority figure or somebody says, well, that's wrong, you can't do that. And I agree with some of the limitations with regards to, like, robbing stores and killing people and things like that. You know, that's kind of a given. Well, it should be, in my opinion. But I think... when it comes to art or home design or any one of those other things, and body art. I mean, I've seen some tattoos on people that were absolutely magnificent. And to me, that's an art form. And I've seen some that it looked awful, but that was their choice. It didn't make the person a bad person or a good person. It was just, and too often, I think, getting back to the topic of love, and getting back to psychic armor, the psychic armor with relation, and I'm going to use the tattoos because we talked about it earlier, is kind of like they have to be able to get past that initial observation to find out what's really going on inside that person.
Because
mm-hmm. there are a lot of fabulous people out there that may not dress the way that we think they should, or may not they may have tattoos, or they may do something, but the bottom line is inside of each one of them is the ability to love and to give love in healthy ways. And that's what we're here for. We're children of God, whatever your perception of that is, learning to become adults of God. And love, you know, it doesn't have any strings to it.
Thank goodness.
Well, yeah. And yet we all have our conditioned and some of our own interpretations of what we think love is. And for some people, it's strictly physical. For others, they can expand it into caring. You take a guy that paints a car and knows his, because that's another form of art, but most people who paint houses. I don't know if you've ever known anybody who couldn't paint and did it and shouldn't have. But to respect and honor the people that can do what they do instead of trying to make everybody in the same image.
Yeah, well, you know, we'd have only probably a handful of different kinds of people out there doing what they do, and other than that, there would, you know, be less levels of expression out there, I'm sure.
Right, but when you start talking about creativity and different ways to show it, and when you start talking about caring, you know, if I'm in line with, I don't care if it's a full grocery basket or I've got 10 items and the guy behind me has one, I'll let the guy behind me go in front of me. It's really not a big deal. And let the car in front of you go in without any frustration, or bless the person that cuts you off because they're so into whatever they're into, they're not paying attention to what they're doing. Because the more that we can get into that calm, loving place, the more we are open for really, really, really good things to happen to us. And there's not even a slight exaggeration in that statement.
Well, you know, even just like, that's a great daily practice to, you know, just find random acts of just kindness that you can give to another person. So they were talking about that with all the different things that have been going on lately with between the shootings and all this. One of the ladies in my group, she said that was a quote that she had read was about just coming from that level of, you know, choosing kindness, choosing compassion in moments when you could really go the opposite direction, and how that's what really changes the world.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Conscious choices.
And you're seeing more and more people want that kind of freedom instead of the freedom of, you know, I mean, yeah, there's people out there that don't do nice things. And right now, I think one of the things that I'm really kind of observing is Korea with their testing the nuclear weapons, and they were allies of the other Korea, North Korea and South Korea, and the other Korea does not approve. And what happens is they're hurting their own people. And the anger and the hate they have towards the United States is ludicrous, because there's a lot of good people in the United States, and there's a lot of good people in Korea, and there's a lot of good people all over the world. But most of the time, in many cases, they're restricted.
Well, and it's just like anything else. It's that level of, you know, limited knowing of one another that really is the catalyst that would create those kind of thoughts for people. It's not really, you know, having that interchange of just discussion or an interchange of just cultures and what they can look like for each other to actually be enhancing both cultures simultaneously.
Yeah, the tough part with that, though, is there is programming conditioning.
And that's the same with everybody, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, could be their government, it could be their religious systems, it could be any number of other things, but I think the most important thing is there is that spark of light and love in each individual. If we can just even send it out in a way that understanding that higher power, greater energy, kindness is in that person, and ask for the kindness for them to be blessed with that kind of kindness. And if you've got enough people, and there's been some tests and experiments done, but if you've got enough people sending out that kind of a good thought, people change. Things change when we do that. You know, or we'd still be driving Henry Ford's first car.
Well, and they probably have a thing on there for, you know, having it being it with the, no. I was going to make a joke. Never mind.
Got it.
But, well, what about when they talk about that whole idea of, you know, okay, here we're talking about China and we're, well, Korea, the different levels of Korea, and just, you know, us just taking a moment, breathing in, kind of putting our hands on our heart and then just sending us, you know, just a sense of well, you know, may they be well, may they feel loved, may they know, you know, that there are others that care for them, and not necessarily having to define what that is, but just knowing that it could be sent out there. I mean, there's different kinds of research that they're really seeing that's actually things that are being sent out there that people can tangibly know and sense that that's true.
Well, and we can do that, and I'm talking we, each one of us at a time, if we just sent a simple blessing and loving thoughts and ask them to be lifted from their fear, because whatever they're doing is out of fear of something. And it's interesting because President Obama tonight acknowledged the fact that the production automobiles and things are coming back in. Apple computers starting to manufacture in the United States again and everything. But I think what's really interesting is manufacturing became really popular. And it was based on war.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that Obama is doing now is encouraging manufacturing in other areas like energy and air and things like that, because the generation of manufacturing needs to change. And another thing that he addressed, and is true, we've still got kids going to schools that were built way back when. They're not up to speed or up to date with what's going on today in a lot of respects.
Mm-hmm. And now he wants to create something that's going to float us, don't fall off that fiscal cliff.
That's what? Hello?
Hi,
are you there? Yeah,
Gloria
was saying that it was making it to where we weren't going to fall off the fiscal cliff.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that, and I listened to the Republican side afterwards, the guy from Florida whose parents came over from Cuba and got their citizenship, and he was born here. And I think what's really interesting about it is that Obama didn't create all these problems. He stepped into a huge mess.
Mm-hmm.
And this
Absolutely.
Is something that's been building for years and years and years. And it isn't just the government that's created it. It's the people who have taken advantage of or misused a lot of the privileges that we have in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that has got to come back into balance. And I'm not talking about, you know, it's okay to have money. It's okay to have nice things. But when you have to do it at the expense of others,
mm-hmm.
in so many different ways, there's accountability that steps up. And as much as they want to blame the government, or whoever the government happens to be during the conversation, the people, and especially in the United States, because we do have the freedoms we have, the people need to be accountable for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, taxes. I even went through a week or two ago. I still am not sure I'm not going to do it. But heck, I'd be willing to do a fundraiser to pay off national debt.
Do what? A fundraising to what?
To pay off the national debt.
Oh, sure. Imagine if everybody contributed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because,
yeah.
You know, but the thing is what happens is there's always going to be factions that don't agree or factions that want more. And there are some people out there that are very successful, very giving, and things like that. But what we have to do is we need to get to balance. And right now, we're way out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do it one step at a time with one individual at a time. And one little thing that we do in order to appreciate where we are and what we have at the moment. And if we're looking at things we don't like, because we have to do that sometimes, but say, okay, I really am not happy about da-da-da-da-da-da, but what would I really like to experience?
Mm-hmm.
And put it into the experience we'd like to have. What we can do is we let the past go, we let the experience go, and that becomes our today.
Right.
It might take a little bit of time, but mm-hmm. we have that much power inside of us. We have that much energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was explaining today, you know, how the sperm and the egg meet. And, you know, mm-hmm. they're just two wee, tiny, microscopic blobs.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the intelligence that goes through the developmental stage to create the feet, the nails, the potential for the teeth to grow in, all of the individuality that you see in this world, not just here. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. See what we can do with our thoughts. We can do the same things to improve things.
And just be focusing on that power of love that is the most,
yep.
you know, most amazing thing that we have in the world.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And respect differences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because, my granddaughter, I'll use my granddaughter as an example. Uh-oh, we're out of time.
We are out of time.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. So, like normal, the 30 minutes goes by way, way too fast. So we want to thank our diners and thanking everybody for coming on here. And we'll see you next week here at the cafe, maybe filled with light and love. And just go out there and share it with everybody. I love you all, and thank you for being here. Yes, it is. Love you guys,
night, guys.
And we'll see you next time.
Night.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time.